Australia overnight. Now, with inflation continuing to remain sticky and refusing to fall back, affordable housing is in desperate need for many of us. And the recent budget's focus on the government building 1.2 million affordable homes over the next 5 years overlooks some crucial factors and won't work, says our next guest. Now, here to explain and tell us how we can fix it, finance educator and founder of Zep Finance, Zane Pert, is here. Is it Zep or ZEP Finance, Zane? Have I said that right?
Zep Finance is, how we pronounce it, but there both work.
All right, Zep Finance, you're here to talk about these. As I say, well, the inflation data came out during the week. Maybe we can put that aside because we still need to see the quarterly data and all that stuff. But what about building these homes? The government, you know, often, you know, waves numbers around and says top line things. When you dig a bit deeper, do you think it can work?
Look, I think they're certainly trying, which is always nice, but the budget that's trying and the budget that's going to work seems like two very different sides. I mean, the building at the moment industries, they're having a lot of issues. I mean, you've got it's a supply chain, which has always been hard. There's many builders that are, you know, having issues with finances and are going broke, and there's issues with getting staff. There's the rising cost of construction and how much the actual building goes up. Like so many people I'm seeing, not even big builders, by the time the project's finished, that cost at the end, they just haven't built it in and they've got to find all this extra money. And you're compounding this with saying we're going to build all these extra houses. And then you've got so many other issues that come up as well. Like this is a federal budget, which is amazing, but it's the state budgets and the state governments that are causing issues as well when you get to local councils and you get to approvals. And yes, they're saying they're going to put infrastructure in, but it feels like they're just saying we'll throw a lot of money at it without addressing some of the underlying issues that are there to actually make this work.
So the sector isn't equipped to handle it, as you say there. The private sector are struggling with getting the right sort of resources. You've just said it, you know, the process of getting approvals and things is not working. So, yeah, the government's throwing money at it, but the wheels won't turn and the homes won't be built no matter how much money you throw at it.
Certainly. I mean, look, one thing that I was really happy about was certainly those places they're giving for TAFE and helping more people get trained up, and that's great. But, you know, to train new employees and train new kids apprenticeships, that's not a quick thing, and it's great that we've got all these places and that's a really good spot to start. And I just don't feel it's tackling the issue now. Like you walk around some of the big streets in Melbourne at the moment, and it's scary to see how many people are on the street living there, sleeping in the day. It's not a nice thing, yeah. And I think we need to address that quicker.
Zane, I look at these numbers that the government throws around, 1.2 million affordable homes over the next 5 years. I mean, does the private sector handle that sort of number? So I know you're saying about, you know, the process. Are we thinking this through as a government? But the actual number, is that doable as well, or is that too ambitious?
No, I think it's way too ambitious. And I mean, I talk to a lot of investors at the moment. The thing is that they're wanting the private sector to cover this. And I talk to even a mum and dad investor, and that's somebody who's providing housing for somebody else at the moment. And a mum and dad investor goes to buy an investment property, and then they're going to house somebody. The cost for that person to buy an investment property now is that mother or father or, you know, the investor is putting in maybe $300-$400 a week to house somebody else. So, you know, there is 1.2 million affordable housing they're saying they're going to build, but then who's covering the rest of that cost to pay for the affordable housing? I mean, they have also said they're going to put rent assistance up, but $25 a fortnight isn't going to go much to the cost of extra rentals that they're putting there. Then on top of that, like you're saying that, you know, the rent is going up and they're stopping investors from doing this and stopping investors from doing this. And certainly I think that, you know, rent shouldn't be going up too much. But at the same time, you can't expect the investors to then pay for housing for everybody else.
Yes.
Like the cost to actually run an investment property, if you look at all the governments, state government changes they're putting in, and it's great, some of them, but the extra compliance to have an investment property, or they're changing land tax, or they're stopping you from putting the rent up for 12 months, or they mean tenant gets this, and it's great. And tenants, I absolutely agree that tenants should have safety. But you've got to also understand it's an investment. And if you stop people from being able to invest and being making it safe and making it for them, then they're not going to put their money in. The government's not putting their money in. The same other people out there who are investors help us out, but then we're going to put heaps of restrictions on you.
Yeah.
So you know, it's not aligned to what they want to do. And I think so that as a federal government, they really need to focus on trying to make it more of an Australia policy rather than just saying this is where the money goes and then still in having every individual state create their own policies that changes things.
Yes. And I think we'll get to more of a solution soon. I know we're sort of being a bit sort of negative on it, but I agree with you with the, and I think many do. So another issue is the government's throwing money at this, like the Australia Made suggestion by the federal government as well, where you're going to prop up certain industries. You'll then be sucking the resources and money from the private sector because they'll all go to the public sector because the government's throwing money at it. So they're all saying, oh, well, there's free money over here. So I'm nervous it's going to make the problem worse because, you know, this side that's working is going to run over the other side to get the public money. And then both sides will be, you know, getting worse. And then we're up the creek without a paddle.
I think that's a very good analogy, what you've just put forward there. And look, I appreciate that, you know, running a country and running a budget and dealing with these issues is massive, and certainly it's not one size fits all. But sometimes just throwing money at problems doesn't fix it. There's other areas and other ways to do things. And I mean, look, they're certainly putting money into like those first home loan deposit schemes and helping homeowners get in and own their own property, and that's fantastic and that's a good way to support things. But I just think a lot of these measures, they're big numbers now to win a vote. Like they're just saying, we're going to put money here and we're going to put money there. And I don't feel like it's been planned out as well as it could just to give a number, say we're going to build all these houses and we're going to do this. I just don't feel it's going to tackle the issue, and I don't think it's going to tackle it quick enough because we're already in that crisis.
Yes,
and their plan's going to take 5-10 years to get there. That's too long. What are people going to do for 5 or 10 years? Live in their car?
Yeah. Australia Overnight, we're chatting to finance educator and founder of Zep Finance, Zane Pert, about, you know, building more affordable homes for Australians. 133-693 to join the conversation in Australia Overnight. So that question on immigration, I know, you know, you're into real estate and a finance educator, but does this fall into your world too? The idea of both sides are saying they'll slow down on immigration. Is that a way of at least, you know, freeing up some of the housing stock for people who are here and who need it now?
I mean, there's a few arguments there, but I think immigration, certainly we need those people in because we've already talked about shortages of staff and people in the industry. If we stop immigration, where are we going to get the extra staff from? I think one of the big issues is there are a lot of properties that stay vacant. Like we need to stop all those properties from staying vacant. And certainly, I mean, if you're talking about the university industry, all those students are the ones that help pay for us Australians to get educated. Yes. So if we stop all the foreign students coming in who are paying all the big fees and helping prop up those unis, then who's going to cover the rest of that? Like that's maybe not the best policy to stop them from coming in and putting money into our economies and helping educate our children by just saying that they're taking up the accommodation. There's got to be other things that they're looking at. And they have actually said they're going to build more student accommodation, which is fantastic as well.
Yes. And you mentioned the skills as well. And I think when we dug a bit deeper with the immigration policy, both with Peter Dutton and also Albanese, how much can you cut off the skilled labour, which is required and what we need? And most will then maybe be students who are propping up the rental market or helping the rental market and education. So, yeah, it's a bit of a fine line. So are we encouraging the private sector? Well, you mentioned all the fees and taxes, especially in Victoria. You know, so that's the ALP government in Victoria. The opposition, John Pesutto and his team, need to come out with a clear alternative and say, vote for us and we will change this or we'll do that. So, I mean, do we have an alternative out there somewhere?
I think there's certainly alternative, but the issue is that I think people are focusing on one group. So like the Greens, I love them and they've got a lot, but they're saying rental freeze, do this, do that. But that's just going to cause so much more harm. And I guess the issue is often when you find the government dealing into the private sector or trying to make policies on a free market, that's where things get worse. Like we're already seeing the land tax that's going to come in Victoria. We talked about what was going to happen when Queensland was going to tax the other states and the outflow of investors. I mean, there's been stuff in Canberra where people have moved away from having investment properties and they're the ones that are providing the housing. Yes, they might not be affordable to everybody, but certainly the more properties that are available for rent means then hopefully the rent will stabilise and then it can become more affordable for everybody.
Is there any, any way to get into that? Is property still good? If I've got a rental property, maybe the mortgage isn't massive. I'm getting a little bit of income coming through with this rental property. I mean, we hear about all these people selling out. Can you make it work for you in this current market?
Absolutely. But the thing is that a lot of people who already own property, they have smaller debt. The return's a little bit bigger. It's when you get into the market the first time. So if you need to borrow a majority of the property using equity from your home and you get another property, then you're borrowing 100% and then you're starting at the lower rental yield, and then there's all the other costs to get in. There's the insurance, and you've got to do the fire, definitely need the fire detectors and things like that to be looked at. And then I guess the thing is that they build policy on the people that are doing things wrong, not on the people that are doing things right. Yeah. So it's built for the 1% of people that are doing it wrong and making it a bad name for everybody, rather than making the policy that's helping everybody and making it stable.
Yes, there's the compliance things. I mean, you might be up for several thousand dollars before you even start, just to get the people through to check everything, and there's the regular checks. And as you say, we need to do that, but are we overcorrecting? Are we punishing the market and really just causing more problems with all these rules upon rules and laws and those sorts of things, Zane?
I'm absolutely saying we need rules, but there's a certain point. I mean, even on top of that, we're looking at all the insurances have gone up so much. Like, you look at how much your insurance as an investor in a lot of areas to just insure the property, that's gone up so much, and that has to be passed on somewhere. You know, it's not that the investors can just take that on, and certainly I really appreciate that it's hard for renters out there. There isn't a lot of properties and it's expensive, but I'm just trying to give folks perspectives, that's all.
Australia Overnight, we're chatting to finance educator and founder of Zep Finance, Zane Pert. So are we just, it's funny, when I talk on this program, some people say I'm a lefty sometimes on the text, and then they say I'm right-winged, and so I get accused of sort of being on both sides. I try to be as balanced as I can. I mean, I'm a presenter with my own thoughts and feeling about, I'm not a journalist, so I sort of talk about on this program how I feel. So are we a sort of a victim of a left-wing government, which is basically saying, just leave it to us, leave it to the public sector, don't worry about the private sector, we'll build the homes, a bigger government, and we're smarter than you are, and we can fix this problem with government money?
In a way, yes. I mean, and I'm not a lefty or a righty either, but I think we sort of need a combination of everybody to help out to make this work. And just throwing money at the problem doesn't work. And often when the government throws money at places, it just gets wasted. There's multiple schemes we've seen in the past where money just gets blown away. The cost to do everything is so much. So we need to come up with better policies, make it easier to get those developments through, try and stabilise the workforce, and certainly what they're doing, we need to do it quicker. That's all really helping out.
Now, just reading this blurb here, so I think just in summary, so Zane believes the only approach forward is the federal government and the private sector working, have I skipped a line there, federal government to create a one governing housing policy. Right, so you mentioned that, so if the federal government...
Yeah, so sort of more across Australia than individual states, because obviously when the individual states come in, like we're looking at Victoria at the moment, they had issues and they've got a massive budget deficit. Now they're trying to bring that back from rentals and taxes and... Yeah. There's other land tax that they're trying to bring in to bring that budget back, which is then just going to push up rental prices. Yeah. Like, it's not really the right idea.
Now, we're paying for Victoria in particular, their financial mismanagement, because I guess property is the big honeypot for them, and that's why they're taxing landlords and that sector, whether it be stamp duty and all that sort of stuff. They've just got, dollar signs in their eyes, and they're not thinking about the consequences.
That's correct, yeah. And it's, the people who end up paying are the people on the ground, the people renting, because somebody has to pay for these extra costs. You can't just lose money and just think that it's okay or that it's going to make sense, or otherwise they sell the properties and what happens there?
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully we can get some strong leaders in there that sort of have a clear way forward, support the private sector and just get the wheels turning and see how we go. I mean, Australia is still a great country, Zane. Victoria, I hope, is still a wonderful state. I wonder sometimes, but...
it's a little bit colder than I expected.
It's a bit colder this time of year. Yeah. But, we need businesses to thrive, and we need an environment where people can be employed and homes can be built and people can earn money from renting properties and all that stuff that just keeps the economy going and the money flowing. That's what we really need.
Absolutely. You're 100% correct. We need a strong, stable economy where people aren't worried if they're going to build a house at the end, there's an extra $50,000 cost that they didn't know about.
Yeah.
And we need people to feel comfortable. And I know it's not quite in that state in Australia at the moment, and it's an absolutely amazing country and we're lucky. But we just need to fix some of these issues.
Okay, we'd get along well, you and me, at a party. We'd go in the corner and we'd agree furiously. So anyway, for our listeners who might want to disagree or contribute, 133-693 is our number. Thank you for joining us, founder of Zep Finance, Zane Pert, on Australia Overnight.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate it.